Here we go. May 27th, current events. Military drills, this is from the BBC, military drills increase globally for war preparations. BBC, military drills increase globally in war preparations. What I've did is there's a map that you're seeing. Highlighted in those colors that you see, is where currently joint and individual military exercises are going on. Everywhere you see color, joint or individual military exercises are going on. It is the highest ever seen at any one time in history. Do you think there's something going on that we don't know? I think there is. The Bible says to prepare for something. There is. Do you know there's going to be a world war? Unlike has never been seen, the Battle of Armageddon. According to the BBC, this isn't according to Glenn Beck, this is according to the Christian News, this isn't according to Billy Graham, this is according to the BBC. You guys understand this? They're not trying to read Bible prophecy, they're reporting the news of what's going on. It says these events of these joint and individual military exercises are unprecedented level to date. They point to a potential, they point to not just potential, but war preparations in all, if not all these regions. Lithuania is conducting large-scale drills known as lightning strike. Lithuania is doing end-time war drills right now. In Norway, 10 NATO countries are involved in Operation Dynamite Mongoose. Russia and China, we talked about that 2 weeks ago, are involved in joint exercises in the Mediterranean. The joint warrior exercise is going on in Scotland, involving 50 warships and submarines and 70 aircraft. Right now, this is taking place. Drills inside Russia in response to NATO's involvement in surrounding countries have 24 missile interceptors move inside of Romania, and the Pentagon has moved warplanes and troops inside Bulgaria. Western Europe is launching massive military drills in the Arctic, and following Russia will do the same thing, loading the Arctic with tanks and armored vehicles and air defense missile batteries. The Nordic and Baltic regions in the next 2 weeks will also have challenging exercises following NATO's submarine detection drills. You guys, things are heating up. I want you to know this is what's going on. This is not to scare, it's prepare. And as we close tonight's time together, we're going to be praying for our family members who are not saved. This should be the biggest tip-off ever that this is the time that we are now living in is coming to a close. In March, Russia performed a large-scale military drills in the Barents Sea involving 40,000 military personnel. The up-and-coming attractions are Japan and Australia are having joint military exercises. Japan and Australia are having joint military exercises next month. Russia will conduct joint military exercises with India and China in the end of the second quarter of this year, along with sending troops to Mongolia and Belarus. Things are happening. Things are happening. Don't get caught unaware. All right. But luckily, when these things happen, we look for someone to step up, right? And this is who I like to think there's for us. Okay. These are the Expendables, just so you know. There's Sylvester Stallone and okay, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay, all right. Just to let you know, these are the people you call when problems arise. Okay, it was just a little joke. It's going to be okay. You guys are a little sleepy. Okay, here we go. Who is this, everyone? Tony Blair, and his position was of, what is it? Great Britain, United Kingdom. Tony Blair was also the quartet envoy or ambassador for, there's four nations. It's called the quartet. Tony Blair has just resigned his position after 8 years of trying to push forward economic development and institution building inside of Palestine or the Palestinian Authority. Tony Blair, who was the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom from 1997 to 2007, you guys, 1997, 2007, after that, since he finished that. He has been working with the UN, the EU, and Russia in working on economic benefiting to the Palestinian Authority. Okay? Palestinian Authority. Now, the letter of resignation went to this individual who is... Who is this? There we go. The UN Secretary Ban Ki-moon of the UN. He said, Tony Blair's resignation has been accepted, although we are saddened that he wants to step down. He said he'll still be involved in a great capacity, but feels another voice needs to be heard in moving forward the peace process for Palestine and Israel. He believes, Blair believes, that there needs to be a different regional approach to the peace process, however, and will use his links in the region. He believes that he can step outside of the UN, EU, US, and Russia quartet to help benefit this quicker. He said the last conflict left Gaza devastated and the people worn down and impoverished. Gaza Strip. Now, the Gaza Strip, located on the bottom left of Israel. You guys see where the Gaza Strip is? And then the other part is the Palestinian Authority is located where the West Bank is at, right? These are the post-1967 borders. So the last conflict, he said, although it left Gaza devastated, he says we still need to reach out and drastically improve the daily lives of the Palestinians. Explicitly, we need to get behind the peace process for a two-state dwelling. We need to stop Israel from building and give the property back to Palestine. Third, we must see an enhanced role in the region with all, not just the quartet, but all Middle East getting involved with Israel. Tony Blair has a big voice. Tony Blair is well-connected, and he says he's going to use his influence and links actually even more so than he has before, going outside of the quartet of the EU, the UN, Russia, United States. So when you see his name and face has been on the news quite a bit lately, so I just want to bring that to your attention. That is why they're talking about that. Now, this picture right here is in Ireland. Ireland is celebrating the vote for same-sex marriage. The whole country. A landmark vote to allow same-sex marriage in the Republic of Ireland, although passed, is considered a defeat for humanity, according to the senior Vatican official. 62% of Ireland is in favor of changing the constitution and allowing gay and lesbian couples to marry. Now, why is this such a big deal? 2 weeks ago, we talked about the End Times Church. Last week, End Times America. This week, we're continuing. How does God judge, right, a nation? He gives warning. He does selective chastisement, full chastisement, selective judgment, full judgment, or abandonment of that nation. We're going to discuss this more tonight. I just want to keep this current event, and there'll be more in your forethoughts tonight as we go through what does it look like? What are the lines that we can see throughout history and learn from people who've gone before us and nations who've gone before us? What happens when we start crossing these lines that the Bible says should not be? Okay? This is pretty cut and dry in the Bible, so I just want you to remember, like I said, these current events. So this gentleman right here, he is the European head of Goldman Sachs Asset Management. You guys ever heard of Goldman Sachs? You'll see they were obviously in 2007 and 2008, they were on the news quite a bit. The United States and the European representatives from Goldman Sachs. But now the head, he's been on a lot of different news agencies in Monday and Tuesday. This is what... Once again, this is not End Time Prophecy News Station. This is not Gloom and Doom Station. This is not someone reporting from their basement. This is regular news on TV who are not giving you the filter from the Bible. They're just giving you the news. Matthew 24:33 commands us to know the signs of the times. Why? Revelations 13 says there's going to be a one world, what? Economy. One world religion, one world economy, or also a one world government, all right? So one world economy, what's it saying? Bible says, I command you to know this is what's happening. So the European head, Andrew Wilson, said the world is sinking under too much debt and an aging global population. An aging global population. The article goes on, which I'll read a little bit more, but just to give you some brevity on that. Several years ago, Ted Turner, you guys know who Ted Turner is, owner of TNT, right? And WTBS, started all these stations, former owner of the Atlanta Hawks, right? Started. He was also married to what high-profile person? Who is it? Jane Fonda. Ted Turner now, Ted Turner, along with Hillary Clinton and several other people, are in favor of population control. One of the biggest things about the new, also one of the biggest things about the new insurance or medical insurance things or Obamacare, whatever you want to call it, that's gone on the Reformation Act, is that, well, what happens if someone can't get medical care over a certain age of a certain ailment? You guys know about this. This has been, it's selective, right? So part of that group of movement, Hillary Clinton has been for this, Ted Turner has been for this. They are very well tied in. These are part of the links along with Tony Blair that they've all been networking together, and it's part of population control. Okay. Now, this has been going on. This has been going on since 1989, this group. So I just give you a little background before I continue to read. So there's a population control. Now, the head of Goldman Sachs for the European Assessment Branch says that we have too much debt. And in order to get rid of the debt, we have to have a one-world economy. Last week, I showed you a picture of George Soros, who says the only person that's not on board is who? China. China is the only country not on board with a one-world economy or a globalization of the economic standard. So now you have Goldman Sachs saying, what we need, because there's too much debt and it represents risk to too many economies, consequently, in order to generate growth to work off the debt, which I deem is impossible along with our analysts, we need to bring it all together and have a one-world financial system. Now, according to Scripture in Revelation 13, this is supposed to take place somewhere around 1,260 days after the rapture takes place, which is 3.5 years. You guys all remember, agree with that? Revelation 13, we studied that. So if the world is telling you, not through the filter of the Bible, but they're telling you the only way to solve the economic issues that are facing the UN, the EU, and that we deal with on a daily basis is, once again, there's things going on we don't understand, is we have to have a global economy. George Soros gives you a report from G20. He says, hey, we're working on this. He said since 2008, China's the only holdout. So they're telling the church, hey, this is happening. Jesus said, know what's going on. Now, the demographics, according to, once again, Goldman Sachs, in most major economies, including the U.S., Europe, and Japan, are a major issue. And present with the U.S., and present with the question of how we're going to pay the huge debt burden, with life expectancy increasing rapidly, we no longer have a young working population requiring to sustain a debt-driven economic model. We have to do something about the aging population in these countries. Ding, 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 ding. Something's happening. Something's happening. What is happening? Right here, as you see on the screen, as you did see on the screen, there we go. Everything in the red, is in the red. What you see is the government debt to GDP ratio. Anything in the red means your government is more in debt than your GDP ratio. Look how many countries are in the red. This is why they're saying we are in an economic crisis. Because all these countries, look at all of Europe, half of Africa, the United States, Canada, the greater portion of South America, from Australia all over, the GDP is less than government. So we have a problem. What could be the answer? A one world economy. The Bible says that this was going to take place. Did you know 2,000 years ago, the Bible predicted this was going to take place? The Bible also predicted that these countries would be coming together. The Bible, we can go on and on with this, but once again, I'm pointing to these. Once said, all these current events are not just end time prophecy, but it's going to line up with what we're going through tonight. So, everyone got their notes? Everyone got their notes? Once again, every night when you come in, the previous 2 weeks, along with the CDs, are there. All the video are online as well. And your notes are online for if you want to pass along to people. But as grab as many notes packets as you want, even as you leave tonight. That's fine. We'll print more. But this is the End Times America Part 2. 2 weeks ago, we began with the new series, End Times Church and End Times America. Last week, we began to look at America and comparing it to the nations that have gone on in the past. We learn from the things that have gone on before us, right, everyone? We learn. So the Bible is the history of what has gone on before, proving what God does, how God handles things, and how he will handle things in the future. His judgment, how he works. Some of the highlighted scripture from last week, in 1865, Abraham Lincoln, at the conclusion of the Civil War, and 1 month before he was assassinated, in response to the Civil War, in Isaiah 5:5, he quoted, and saying, "Now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard." This is a story that was foretold that Jesus also talked about. We went through that last week. But Isaiah said, "I will take away its hedge, and it shall be eaten and burned up, and I will break down its wall, and it shall be trodden upon its enemies." We talked about is God's hand of protection being removed off the United States. How can you tell, and what are the signs that the United States is causing this hand to be lifted of protection, this hedge of protection? And then Matthew 5, Jesus said, "You may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, and he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." When judgment happens, it says it happens on the just and the unjust. But good things happen to the just and unjust as well. But for those who are just, right, when you die, it says to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. But this is part of judgment, no longer selective, when his hands are abandoned, okay? So this is a pattern. It's a fivefold pattern you can see throughout history. When a nation begins to lose favor with God, there's three things that kick off this fivefold pattern. And those three things is because of a person or leader or nation's sin. It's iniquity. Remember, iniquity is involved in no longer repentance of sin. We studied that. This is a sign of the end of times. We went through 3 weeks of that. So you know that because of its iniquity, meaning no longer repenting of sin, you no longer call something sin. When you no longer call something sin, there's no reason to repent, correct? Because it's not sin. So what we've done in the church, this goes back now to End Times Church, when we start deleting things or not discussing things in God's word anymore, the church at large says, well, it's no longer sin, or you never address it. Now iniquity sets in. Iniquity sets in, right? So because of its breaking of God's commands, it's found in his word. So the fivefold process is the following. This is from last week now. And remember, it happened over a 40-year period all throughout the cycle in the Bible. There's always a warning first. God warns us. He sends a warning to specific individuals. And then when they don't fix, or and this is usually to leaders, then selective chastisement, meaning rebuke, reprimand, or punish. Those leaders are punished. Then there's complete chastisement. Then there's selective judgment on an area or region. Then there's complete abandonment when God takes his hand off and it says, so the adversary can come in and do whatever he wants to do. God says, you're on your own. So God will take his hand off of a nation when we aren't abiding by his rules. And I'm going to repeat this throughout the night, this particular thing, and I just want you to get a hold of this. I have several people, as we come into an election year next year, so you're going to be seeing a lot of things on TV, if you're not already, right? We're a year and a half out, and you already got people announcing what they're doing 18 months from now. So it's going to be on the news. Now, as Christians, as believers, the Word says we're going to be judged for everything that we do. Now, it used to be when you pull the lever, now when you fill out the square or the hanging chad, whatever it is that you want to do, you're going to be responsible. Why did you vote for that individual? And when you vote biblically, it makes it so simple who you're supposed to vote for. It really does. And I want you to say, the Bible, you know what it says? This is for the faith of a child. We try to overthink it. Just do what it says, and that's it. When some of the simplest of people thrive the best in the kingdom because they just believe everything it says. When you start reasoning away scripture, that is when we get into trouble. We get into trouble. So during this election time process, see, when it says, well, I don't have, I've heard people say this, well, we don't have a good Christian, spirit-filled, Pentecostal person to choose from. Well, true. What you want is a competent person in office that can handle the job, and then where do they stand on God's rules? I'm just giving you a little, this is, because when, see, all throughout Old Testament, and even you look at just recent history, when you don't have a spirit-filled Christian jumping up and down, woo, person to vote for, well, then there's no one to vote for. Oh, sure there is. Because the Bible says, blessed is the one who do what is right. See, you can do, as we can put a leader into office who does what is right, even though they're not a holy roller. Well, that would be perfect time to say amen. Okay, so just because they don't do everything in their spiritual life the way that you would want them to, if they're not claiming to be a Christian, I don't care. But I do want, it says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When someone who stands on what the Word says is the right thing to do, what are those issues that are facing the United States right now? Well, back in 1976, we got Roe versus Wade, or 73, and then we have all the other issues. Now it's gay marriage at the Supreme Court level. So when you start looking at what does the Bible say, man, where does that candidate stand on what the Bible says is right or wrong? I don't care how much someone's spending the money on the research if bees make honey enough. I don't care. It's not in here. I can't find it. But I do care where the candidate stands and what God's Word says is right or wrong. So this is what we have to look at. This is the filter. I want to repeat this tonight because this is important that we know. So what we're going to talk about tonight is continue on, is what is America going through? Last week, we looked at these patterns of a nation that gets away from God. So are there more patterns? What are things to look out for? What can we see for the United States? Should we be praying for our country? Yes, you should be praying for our country. You should be praying for our country. In Timothy, it says you should be praying for those in authority over you so it might go peaceable for you. The only reason I'm praying for those in authority is, one, I'm commanded to, but also it says there's a peace that comes over Ian. I can leave him peaceably when I pray for those in authority over him. So there were leaders, though, of nations and kings in the Old Testament, and these kings and leaders, and I've just picked a few tonight, but they did three things that provoked God continually. So we're going to look at the Old Testament, we're going to bring it forth to right now, 2015, and we're going to learn from the patterns that have gone before us. And this, okay, so we understand, I want you to, for tonight, we understand where we are as a nation right now. Secondly, we have to understand how important it is who we vote for people in authority over us. Thirdly, those people in authority over us, they place judges to interpret the laws that are passed. Everyone understand that? This is so important. Well, what's the big deal? Because the Bible talks about every single one of these things. You and I, when we watch TV, doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not a Christian, these are the things that people are discussing every single day about those who rule over us in this country. The church is split on how to vote, but then those who they vote for place judges to interpret the laws that are actually hurting the church. Everyone get this? So what does the Bible say? Okay, first, Here are the three things that provoked God continually. This is going back 4,000 years, everyone. These are the things, and you'd think we would learn. These kings or leaders of nations allowed sodomites to continue their practices. Well, it sounds like now, doesn't it? Okay. 1 Kings 14:24, there were sodomites in the land. Now, in the Amplified, it'll say male cult or male homosexual prostitutes or homosexuals, all right? So it depends on what version you have or what it is. Some say male prostitutes, but sodomites obviously are when men who lay down with men. Everyone get that? All right. So they were commanded, and you'll see this in a second. There were sodomites in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So they were supposed to be cast out, but they were still in the land. Everyone see this? 1 Kings 15:12, we move ahead. He took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols. Woo! Well, 1 Kings 15, and then we moved ahead to 1 Kings 22. But then there remained the remnant of the sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. So all throughout Scripture, not just in Kings, but all throughout Scripture, this was supposed to stop. This wasn't supposed to be a legal, obligated thing that was taking place. This all through Scripture. They were supposed to get rid of it. It continued, and there was remnants everywhere. Number two, these are patterns of leaders of nations and kings, Old Testament. What did they provoke God continually? Number two, they allowed the Israelites to worship idols. All right? We're going to talk about idols a little bit later. There were kings during the Old Testament who knew the one true God, but they allowed the continuing worshiping of idols. Okay, we're going to explain idols here in a second, but 2 Kings 12:3, the high places, or the idols, were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. The high places were allowed to and controlled by the leaders of that nation. So the leaders of that nation knew that it was wrong for them to do that. God commanded to get rid of them. It says they still allowed the high places, those the highest, those are not just spiritually and different things, but they allowed it to happen. 2 Kings 14:4. Once again, the kings. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, and the people did sacrifice and burn incense on these high places. Well, where does that, why are you talking about America? We don't go around burning incense on these high places. We're going to get to that in a second, okay? Trust me. Verse 3. Once again, these are things that nations, leaders of nations, continually provoked God. They allowed their children to be sacrificed to Moloch, right? Jeremiah 32:35. They built the high places of Baal. Once again, this high place is a sacrificial place, or idolic, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch. And I commanded them not, neither coming into my mind, that they should do this abomination to cause Judah, Israel, to sin. Moloch, also known as Moloch, Milcom, or Malcolm, depends on the translation or how you want to do it in the Hebrew, was the name given to a national pagan god. What they would offer their firstborn child, and they would offer them to be killed. There was a statue with his arms placed out, and there was inside a furnace. They would place this child, and they would offer or kill this child. Now, all throughout Scripture, you'll see here in Leviticus. God commanded, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire, children, to Moloch. Neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. So Moloch was heated up with a fire burning inside, and the Ammonites were not the only ones who participated in this. The Israelites also, God's people, started offering up their children. This is where you'll get when you hear at that time and season, when you'll hear sermons about abortion and killing. These are the scriptures. It says you can't just offer up, you can't, it's a child. Once it's in the womb, it says, I knew you before, right? It says inside, it's not at 7 months, it's not at 9 months, it's not at 6 months. It is a child the moment it takes place. Okay? So this is the passage. So what it's saying is a country in the past, a nation or leader that allows these children to be killed, this is a repeating, provoking thing that takes place when a nation allows this. Everyone understand? Now, I want a little footnote right here. If you, anyone's here, or you have family members or anyone here, if you've ever had an abortion, listen, I'm telling you, God forgives. And it's still wrong. God forgives you, but when, what happens is if you don't say it's wrong, that's when iniquity will kick in. So we have to speak what the word says. Now, he's faithful and just to forgive you, but you have to ask for forgiveness. So the worship of Molech, or the killing of children or abortion, the sacrificing to idols, and the permission to allow the Sodomites to have their freedom and not get out of the city, cast that practice from happening where the leader ruled. These are the three things that the kings of Israel did to bring judgment or chastisement from God. Those three reoccurring things all took place all the time. Throughout history, you can see it. When, as soon as a nation allows those three things to happen, bam. So how do I know it's important who we put in office? Because every single time throughout history, when a leader allows this to take place, judgment comes upon a land. We'll talk about this even more now. Because this, I believe, is the reason why the United States is experiencing difficulties. Now, the last couple weeks and even tonight, we as America, for instance, are facing economic difficulties as a whole. Well, I don't think so. Well, no one thought so in 2007, 2008. Well, last week, Ron Paul, former congressman for Texas, he said, wake up, it's going to be worse than it was before. Not conspiracy theory. How do I know that? Goldman Sachs, Eastern Europe. He just says, hey, there is a global calamity is about to take place. George Soros, G20, we need a global economic system, lest the whole thing is going to crash. Everyone understand? I mean, it's not doom and gloom. I know it's kind of like, whoa, no. I'm here to encourage, inspire, lift up. Economic difficulties, banking difficulties, cities are going bankrupt, right? This is happening. Didn't Detroit go bankrupt? Did not Detroit go bankrupt, everyone? All right. There's other cities across the country that are going bankrupt. Well, Pastor, none of those three things have to do with those three items that you mentioned. Of course not. Because you penalize, you rebuke, you correct with something that people wake up to. Just because you're getting abortions, killing child, you have all these areas allowing gay marriage to take place. So, well, how do you get people's attentions? Mess with their money. As a child, right? If I did something wrong, I said, anybody ever say a potty mouth word? Anybody? Come on, I want you to raise your hand right now. Join me. Okay. Wow, I'm surprised. Okay. Okay. Whew. Okay. Anyways, this will be edited out. I won't show any of those hands raised. But I'm surprised at you, Pastor Dennis. Okay, anyways. When on the rare occasion that I said a word that I shouldn't have when I was younger, they didn't discipline me by saying, you can't talk for 2 days, getting back with your mouth. They would ground me or take away privileges that meant something great to me. Once again, the Bible says that God only disciplines those he loves. And remember from Isaiah 5:5, and even Abraham Lincoln said in 1865, this, the United States, has been a prophetic vineyard where spiritual seed has been planted and has gone out. So God has his hand and has had his hands on the United States. So he loves the United States. He sent people here to plant this country and this nation. He's had his hand of blessing. So when we do what is wrong, he wants to correct us. So you have to think, you're not going to always be disciplined in the very area in which you did something wrong, because in order to get your attention quicker, see, a one-year-old doesn't respond to reasoning. They respond to a Spanking. Spanking, yeah, spare the rod, spoil the child. It's one of my greatest verses my dad had everywhere in the house. And it was, I'm kidding, it was mine. And I believe you discipline those you love. Why? Correction in order to go in the straight and narrow way. So the spanking was the quickest and most effective way to get someone's attention when you're younger, right? When you get older, when you're 13, 14, 15, 16, right? The spanking doesn't work like it used to because the strength of the battissimo is probably a little bit better than the hand of which is spanking you. So you have to find another form of punishment in order for you to grasp, I shouldn't do this anymore. You got everyone with me? Okay. So as a nation, what happens? Economic difficulties. When you start messing with America's money, oh boy. Oh boy. 401ks. Oh boy. Right? Goldman Sachs. Hey, it's coming. The finance, the market. I mean, everyone hated, right? All the one percenters. Everyone hates all the people with money, right? Because you got money and we don't. It's all about the money. Every time you have an election, it's jobs, 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 jobs. Why? It's about money. So we know that God brings punishment through money. He talks about it more than anything else in the New Testament. Money, don't let it be the ruler over you because it becomes an idol. Oh, wait, isn't that one of the things we're supposed to be watching out for anytime we place idols in the high places? Money. Church can set money above people. Businesses, money above people. Families can set money above their own children or spouses. So we know money has a great impact. So we know we've seen financial, banking, cities going bankrupt. We see all these financial difficulties where people have no answer. What do we do? So we know what God says to do, turn from your wicked ways. But we also know that at the end of time, it's going to be a one world economy. So there's two things going on. It has to get worse, but it's getting worse because the restrainer, 2 Thessalonians, is pulling away. Why? In order to wake us up, the church, that the time is almost near. Separation of the sheep and goats. 3 weeks we did that as well. So is it possible that God is trying to get our attention? Yes, I think he's trying to get our attention. Well, then why do we have to suffer? Because it also rains on the just and the unjust. So we live in the United States, so we live in this global economic, not just part of the world, but the United States as well. So he says, I've had my hand on you, but if I take my protection off of you, look what this looks like. It's chaos. From what happened in 9/11, what has happened in wars, what has happened in 2007, 2008, when we don't learn from our past as leaders, this is why it's important. In the United States, remember the United States, we get to vote who leads us. So that leader actually represents the people. Do you understand? This is a big deal. Why would God bring judgment on this? In the Old Testament times, how did the kings work? They didn't get voted on. They just were. In the United States, we actually see the kingdoms in the Old Testament, even now, how it works in the monarchies and so forth, they're just placed there. And you hope that they're righteous. Why? Because if they're not, the whole nation suffers. In the United States, we actually get to choose. So the judgment, right, the warning, the chastisement, is not because of what the leader is doing. It's a representation of who the people are who place them in authority over them. Oh, that was good. Thank you. All right. So it is important who you vote for. It's important who you vote for. One of the situations we deal with in America is the issue of judges. Judges have a big role in helping shape, make, change, or interpreting laws. Well, no, that's not what a judge does. Well, no, that used to be what a judge does, but that's what a judge does now. So, now, No, creating laws in the U.S. I just want to give you a little background now. This is the United States now. The House of Representatives' most important job is to create the laws. All laws in the U.S. begin as bills. Before a bill can become a law, it must be approved by the United States. So when you see this information taking place on the news, oh, there's a bill. And, you know, they'll say, oh, man, it's that long weekend, July 4th weekend. And they tried to get this big bill passed about there's a war going on over there and we need to send more money to our troops. But then they put another little bill and they attach it on there to see if they can get it passed. What is that bill? It wants to become a law. Okay? This is important stuff because this is who you vote for. Everyone in the House, everyone in the Senate, you and I are voting for. It is not because of what they're doing, it's because what we are doing. I want you to understand, the United States is just, it's a blessed area that we can actually vote with. You could get the temperature, though, of the country. So before a bill becomes a law, it must be approved by the House, the Senate, and the president. This is where the veto part comes in. Just giving you a little, like, we're not going to stay here long tonight, but I just want to give you an idea how fortunate we are to live in this nation where all these checks and balances are. But the judges are heavily involved in this process. Remember, judges are not voted on at the highest level. They are appointed by those who are voted on, right? So judges play a very significant role in passing or interpreting laws. Judges have a legislative, they have to legislate by the rule of law and are supposed to legislate from the bench, but not their own moral convictions. Okay? They are supposed to interpret the law. They're not supposed to, their moral convictions. Sometimes judges, though, vote on what they personally like or dislike. Oh, that's not true. Oh, sure it is. How do you know that to be true? Because you can watch it all the time. How do you know when a bill, right, or a law gets passed, it's brought to the Supreme Court? You turn on the news, it doesn't matter if it's a Republican, Democratic station, a conservative station, a liberal station, it doesn't matter if it's radio, TV, it doesn't matter. They can tell you pretty much how all those judges are going to vote. Well, how can they do that? Because they tend to vote on what they like and dislike instead of what the law says. So we're counting on man to do this. That's why it's important who you vote for. In the Old Testament, there's just one example I'm going to show you. You're going to find when Israel went into captivity, Daniel was actually praying for the sins of Israel and repenting for judges. Wow, when's the last time we did that? Now, we get mad at the judges, because right now they're voting on same-sex marriage. They try to take it, and you ought to hear whatever. And several years ago, Justice Roberts, you guys, Justice Roberts, John Roberts, right, 2005, he's brought in. They thought he was going to vote one way on health care reform. Why? Because of his track record and who he was. Everyone already knew what was going to happen. He's the one that flipped the tide. He's the one. So instead of getting angry or mad, Bible instructs us to pray for judges or pray for those in authority over us, right? In Timothy. So here we go. Daniel 9:11. I'm going to read from the Amplified. Your second passage, 9:11. All of Israel, God's people, have transgressed your law, even turning aside that they may not obey your voice. Therefore, the curse has been poured out on us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he has carried out intact his threatening words, which he threatened against us, and against who? Our judges, the kings, rulers generally, who ruled us, and he has brought upon us great evil. For under the whole heavens there has not been done before anything so dreadful as he has caused to be against Jerusalem. Because of what the judges have decided, what God said was right, they said was wrong. As because of what the judges did, there was chastisement and judgment upon the whole nation. This is right in Scripture. Daniel was praying for those judges because he understood God's word and punishment now would become upon a nation when the judges decided to change the laws that were against God's word. There's a revelation that should just be popping off right now. You need to be praying for judges to make righteous decisions. You and I believe, have got this little break right now to start praying for our judges, which we're going to do at the end of tonight as well, who are coming up with a same-sex marriage vote. You and I should be praying for judges right now. Oh, I don't know. It's kind of boring. You and I, Daniel 9, he goes, Daniel prayed for these people. Daniel 10 says, the moment you humble yourself and pray, God begins to work on your behalf. He starts sending his angels to start working on your behalf. You know that God can change any judge's mind anytime he wants to. They could actually be signing something, yes, I agree with this, and it could come out no. Well, I don't believe that. God can do anything. I believe God parted the Red Sea. Anyone else? Well, that can't happen. Sure it did, because he parted the Red Sea. I don't believe manna can fall from the sky. Well, manna fell from the sky. Well, I don't believe this liberal judge would ever say no to same-sex marriage. Well, I believe God can do anything, because as we've been looking at his word, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We see the pattern of how God works. So if God can do the impossible when his people repent and they get on their knees and they pray, things can start taking place. But as Christians, we get weary, and we become passive. God has never called us to be passive people. Whatever happens, happens. Must be God's will. No, it's God's will. We get down on our knees and start praying. And then we get up after he gives us direction, and we vote for the righteous people. And then when things don't even turn out the way we want to, we still believe God, and we keep going about our righteous business and do things that are right. We don't mumble complain against those in authority over us, because then things don't go peaceably for us. Wow, that was good. All right, so what happens? These judges, I want to go to the book of Jasher. Book of Jasher? Pastor, what kind of a Bible do you have? The book of Jasher. I put a subnote in your handout. The book of Jasher is mentioned in the Bible. It is not part of the canon of Scripture. It's not part of the 66 books. It's not a heresy book. It's a history book that was written at the time of the Bible. Everyone okay with that? I'm just going to show you something in the book of Jasher, because the book of Jasher is also mentioned in Joshua 10 in Samuel. It's referred to, and it says, hey, what we're talking about right now is in the book of Jasher, okay? So it's basically a sublet. It's not part of the Apocrypha. This has nothing to do with that. This is a book of poems and different things and some history things that were written down that they referred to several times throughout the Bible. So, right, that's just the book of Jasher. Just everyone's okay. I just want to understand. I'm not trying to create this whole new thing. I'm just using a book. I just want you to understand. Jasher, which was referred to by Joshua in chapter 10, Samuel 1. Once again, it's composed of different things that happened throughout the Bible. So Jasher chapter 19. The cities of Sodom had four judges to four cities. And these were their names: Sarek, the city of Sodom, Sharkad and Gomorrah, Zabnak and Adma, and Mena and Zeboiim. Once again, this isn't contrary to Scripture. This is a sublet of history of, okay, we know there's a Sodom and Gomorrah, and now here is the name of the judges that were over these areas, okay? It's just giving us the name of the judges. And verse 3, by desire of these four judges, by the will, not by law, by desire. You guys see this? See, judges are supposed to go by the law and not what they like or dislike or their desire or will. It says, but by their desire, the four judges to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah had beds erected in the streets of the cities, and if a man came to these places, they laid hold of him and brought him to one of these beds and forced him to lie with them. Homosexual sex, sodomite. The judges set this up. You guys see this? Judges. Their own desires. It's important who you elect, because they place judges in authority over you. Daniel 9 says those judges, because of their actions against God's word, brought judgment upon a country. Isn't it so much bigger now who you vote for? Well, Pastor, why do you keep hammering that? Because it's important. I don't want judgment. So if you look, this is considered a sacred, historical, Jewish writing. It just gives history of to what happened at that time. The book tells you that the judges of that city made decisions, brought on the immorality, and eventually the judgment of God. So their rulings caused immorality. So they saw it a different way because it was their desire to change the laws. Their desire. So they changed the laws, which caused immorality in the land. Just so you know, the laws of the United States do not trump this right here. This trumps the law. So if just because the United States passes a bill that says it's lawful to do something, if it's contrary to this, you and I can't do it. Only two people in agreement. Okay, once again. If the United States passes a bill and becomes law because judges say, I'm going to put my desire on this, it's contrary to what the Constitution and bylaws were set up, where 29 of the 56 signers were theological, they had theological degrees, and they said this must be preeminent in how we live in the United States. Then you have judges says, no, we don't. Why? Because they came up with a bogus separation of church and state. There's no such thing. So what they do is they go contrary to God's will, and they use their own desire, and they change laws that create immorality in a country that brings judgment. Now, I want to make this very clear. The same thing is happening right now in the United States. Judges are making decisions that are contrary, and I'm going to go through this in Romans tonight, contrary to good judgment, contrary to common sense, and contrary to the things of God's word. Why wouldn't God take his hand off or punish the United States if we are doing what is contrary? Remember, well, that's not fair because the leaders and the judges are doing it, but we put them there. And even if it was a monarchy or they were in charge of the rules and we didn't have a voice, if they were creating laws that were still against the word of God and the people were now doing it, it's still sin. And if the people keep redoing it and they don't repent, it's considered iniquity. And it says you will not see the kingdom of heaven. That's all throughout Scripture. So this is what happens. This is what happens, number one. When these laws change, when these rulings take place, when we put people in authority over us, when God is separated from government, see right now, there's laws, legislation, and things that are contrary to God's word. When God is separated from government, nothing restrains evil, and judgment will soon follow. Okay, this is what happens. Now, we're going down this cycle. It's righteousness or good laws or the righteous laws that restrains the evil that's within this land. But when God is separated from government, there's nothing that can restrain it. Because laws are passed and no longer are people being lawful, there's problems being created. There's a problem. Once again, just because you have a leader that is not a spirit-filled, born again, Assemblies of God bred. He comes from the central part of Missouri in Springfield, and his parents were AG pastors, and he is not available to vote for president does not mean you don't have another candidate. You vote for those who line up with God's word. Why? So we don't come under this judgment. Second thing. When you don't honor God as creator, he gives people over to their own lust and evil passions. When you don't honor God as creator, as a nation, why, how would you not honor God as a creator? By the first three things we talked about tonight. By allowing homosexuality to be okay, right? Same-sex marriage. The killing of babies and the creating or making or worshiping of idols. So first I'm going to highlight verse 28 of Romans 1, and then we're going to go through Romans. I broke that down. Verse 28. So, since they did not see fit, now this is a nation now, okay, to acknowledge God or approve of him or consider him worth the knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned mind to do things not proper or decent, but loathsome. When God has his hand of protection upon you, and you're obedient, but you don't want to recognize God anymore, he says, fine, my hands are off you. See, without God, we have problems. Our minds go other places. And it says, he gives us over to a base or condemned mind. The things that we think about, and the King James says, a reprobate mind. We're going to talk about that in a second. If you want to understand what's going on and why people are doing these things, because they have a reprobate and based mind. They're not thinking straight anymore. Romans 1, and I'm going to take it from verse 21. Because, as a nation, when they knew and recognized him as God, they did not honor or glorify him or give him thanks, but instead they became futile and godless in their thinking, vain imaginings, foolish reasonings, and what? Stupid speculations. I love that. And their senseless minds were darkened. So now their minds are darkened. So people in authority over us, when you allow these people, it says their minds are darkened. I don't want someone in leadership or authority over me to have a darkened mind. Claiming to be wise, they become what? Fools. And they make simpletons of themselves, verse 23. And by them, the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God were exchanged for and represented by images resembling mortal man and birds and beasts and reptiles. They started worshiping nature. Therefore, God gave them up to their own lusts of their hearts, to sexual impurity. Wow, you see that happening. To the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth for a lie and worshiped and served the creator, rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Idols, the creation. For this reason, God gave them over to their abandoned vile affections and degrading passions, and their women exchanged their natural function for an unnatural or abnormal one. So it's telling you the progression of a human nature is when you no longer put God first. He says, fine, my hands are off of you. Now your mind gets darkened, and you start going after your own lust, verse 27. Verse 26 is women, and now 27, men are now also turning from natural relations with women, setting ablaze with lust from other men. Okay, what's happening right now? Do you guys see it? As a nation, it has never been so more in your face. Why? Because judges are saying it is wrong for the church to say anything. Why isn't the church saying anything? Because almost half the churches are okay with it. End times church, end times America. As the church goes, America will go. Men commit shameful acts with men and suffer in their own bodies and personalities, the inevitable consequences and penalty of their wrongdoing. Now, personalities, in the Greek, it says their personalities will change. It says an effeminate personality. Wow, this is 2,000 years ago this is written. Verse 28, we already read that. Verse 29, until they were all filled with every kind of unrighteousness. Okay, when God's hands are off these people, they become darkened. It keeps going worse and worse and worse until they're all filled with every kind of unrighteousness or contrary to God's word, iniquity, no longer repenting, grasping and covetous greed and malice. They were full of envy, jealousy, murder, strife, deceit. Man, is this reading the newspaper or watching the news every single night? Ill will, cruel, slanders, hateful, hating God, full of insolence, arrogance, boasting, inventors of new forms of evil. Disobedient, undutiful to parents, they were without understanding, conscienceless and faithless, heartless and loveless. Though they were fully aware of God's righteous decree, although they knew his words, same thing now is constitution and bylaws and of our country, right? There's a lot of scripture in there. Those are based. Although they were aware of it, Those who did such things deserve to die. They not only do them themselves, but approve and applaud others who practice. Wow. So they're no longer doing what is right, and God said, fine, my hands are off of you. And this is what it looks like as a nation, right? So you have judges changing laws that encourage immorality. And when that happens, it says it just opens up this whole process of our minds thinking differently. And here's the breakdown of verse 28. We have time here. I'm going to go over some of these. I'm going to break down this. A reprobate mind, it says he turned him over to a reprobate mind. It means good for nothing or a degenerate. Degenerate means having lost the physical, mental, or moral qualities considered normal. So outside of God, just so you know who you're dealing with. You guys ready? I mean, this is, you guys understand this is scripture. This is Bible. When someone who is without God, they become darkened, they have lost the physical, mental, and moral qualities considered normal. Bible even says to be as wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove. Understand, right? Understand the environment we're living in. Verse 29, unrighteousness. It says that this nation will become unrighteous or unjust, that which is wrong. I put all the Greek words in here as well. Fornication, unlawful sex sins of single and married people. It says this is what the nation will start doing. You see this not only in the nation, in the church. This is happening all the time. Now, once again, in the church, when I say in church, church people, he is faithful and just to forgive you. But part of that judgment comes when you don't ask for forgiveness, which is iniquity. Okay? You still ask for forgiveness. Wickedness, lawless, unprincipled, covet, not showing the desire. Murder, we know that. One who commits homicide, debate, strife, contention, argumentative, deceit, seduce into error. Verse 30 now, this is what it looks like. Backbiters, which means evil speaking, haters of God. You know, we have people in government who hate God. They hate God. They want to remove every single thing that they can. Well, why is that bad? Because that means God is removing his hand off of a nation. Not off of you and I, not off of you and I, off a nation. So as that hand removes, it says it can rain now on the just and the unjust. So you and I are going to be open for, right, in politically in high places, if you work at a public place or a government, things are going to start taking place. It's going to happen. Now watch this. Disobedient to parents. In the Greek, akapokos, it also means disobedient to those in authority over you. Verse 31, this is one I want to really focus on tonight. Without understanding, it means, you guys, no longer having the ability to judge. We have record amount of homosexuals as judges in this country. Not even at the highest levels, at all levels. According to God's word now, the previous verses, it says, when men lay with men and women, it's just, okay, here. And then it says, it's a progressing thing. It says they no longer have the ability to judge. The Bible says they no longer have the ability to judge. We're placing people in leadership to judge where the Bible says they can't even judge anymore. But we have Christians who go against God's word and say same-sex marriage is okay. But the Bible says they don't even have the ability to think. And it says they don't have the ability to judge. Well, Pastor, are you slamming homosexuals? I'm telling you what God's word says, and we need to understand as law is being made, and even as the church, God's judgment is going to be coming upon us. Covenant breakers. As a nation gets away from God, leaders and people will become covenant breakers. It's a breaker of contracts, agreement, and faithless. I've never seen in the last 4 years at governmental levels that they're saying, I don't care what's written, I break the laws, I don't care. This is a sign of God's hand being removed from a nation because this is what allows leaders to think and do this. implacable. The irresponsible person who, being at war, refuses to lay aside enmity or to listen to terms of reconciliation. You see, when people get, and once again, we're just talking about government officials, right? Everyone? Talking about end times America. When you have, it says there's two parties and they're trying to reconcile and get things solved, right? So you have a Democrat or Republican side. I don't care who it is. It could be in the United Kingdom as well. There's two different parties. And in Israel, there's two different parties. But it says, what is the sign at the end? It says the irresponsible person no longer will even come and make sense with the responsible. There's always at war. They can't even come in the middle to progress even forward. So when you can't come in the middle to even make a little sense out of it, it says you can stay at war or be irresponsible, which takes the whole nation down a worse path. Unmerciful, no compassion. So if you don't honor God and put him first as the creator, you will be unrestrained, Romans 1, in your passions, and there will be all sorts of perversion. 63% of all traffic online is pornography. 63%. Hold on. 52% of that is men. 49% is women. Well, how can that be? The men were always winning. Because we've gotten to the place of Romans where it's women now are thinking the same way as men. Because why? He's given us over to this reprobate mind. You guys see this? This is what's happening. So, well, Pastor, that's not me. I know. Understand what the nation is going through. Understanding these laws are changing where now it's acceptable. More and more people are just talking about whatever they want to, and it's no longer hidden. It's no longer shameful. Now, here are some points now about America. Here's some points. God lifts the hedge that keeps the enemy out when you walk in obedience. God lifts the hedge that keeps the enemy out when you walk in obedience. He's in control of that hedge. All of us who are followers or imitators of Christ have a protective hedge around us, but when the hedge is lifted, terrible things can happen. According to the Bible, we walked through this last 2 weeks. America has been under the hedge of God, so we've been protected, we've been blessed, and there are times where the adversary or the enemy has wanted to come against us, but God has stopped us. We know that nothing's really happened other than really 9/11 on the shores of the United States. We've been very much protected. But now if God lifts the hedge, then something terrible can happen, and our hedge is dependent on our faith and obedience to God's word. How do I know that? We just went through it the last 2 weeks. America's protection is dependent upon their faith and obedience to the word of God. Lack of faith and obedience removes the hedge or hand of God, and it's lifted off of a nation, and now you see what happens when God's hand begins to be removed. Because laws are being changed that don't make any sense to many people. But it says those people who are changing the laws have a reprobate mind. And they don't even see it anymore. Number two, God will deliver you to the hand of your enemies. We see this throughout Scripture. If you don't turn and the hedge is lifted, according to Ezekiel 16 now, behold, there I've stretched out my hand and have diminished thy ordinary food, delivered thee unto the will, them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which were ashamed of thy lewd way. God says, here you go, and your enemies are going to come in and take everything. From your finances, this is what's going on right now, from finances to whatever, it's going to take your children, meaning the things that are offered in your schools, from Common Core to all this curriculum, the enemy's coming in. He's attacking where you can. We've allowed the hedge of protection to be removed. Prayer out of schools, well, okay, I've heard that. No. It's not as simple as prayer out of schools. It's a godly influence in the school. As that removal takes place, we saw 3 weeks ago that the head of the Nazarene school in Idaho, he got booted because he said, hey, you're teaching something that's contrary to God's word. And they booted him. Why is this happening? Because God is removing his hand of protection right on us. And he says, see, you got to, we're not, see, when we say the enemy, oh, okay, well, are you talking about a military? No, I'm talking about every single facet. The enemy, he goes around seeking whom he devour. We'll use any single thing that we can. So laws, from schools to anything that he can use, he will get in and worm his way in to change you and I and kill the family from within. Number three, God will not deliver those who turn to idols. Whew, hand the protection off. Joshua 2:8. Those who pay regard to false, useless, and worthless idols forsake their own mercy and loving kindness. Judges 10:13. You have forsaken me and served other gods, therefore I will deliver you no more. Do you guys see this? Go cry to the gods you have chosen. Let them deliver you now, and your time is stuff. Now, we don't have little clay gods sitting around and pray to them like they did in the Old Testament days. I understand that. But we still have idols. Money is an idol. Why? I know, because every single time there's an election, the most important thing that we vote on is money. Everyone just, if we freak out, oh no, the mortgage rates, the financial news, how much is my loan for my car? Well, pastor, money makes the world go around, but it shouldn't be your God. So what is the first thing that the enemy comes to do? He attacks your money. Why? Because God says, I will supply all your needs, but if you want to walk away from me, hands of protection is off, the enemy comes in, and he comes in and comes up against your finances and everything else. What else does he come against? Is there a person you love more than God? Many parents put their kids over God. Oh, I don't know about that, Pastor. Sure, happens all the time. Happens all the time. People put others in front of God. They're wanting to please other people becomes before pleasing God. They're wanting to keep harmony. See, if you're trying to keep harmony in your house by not pleasing God, you're pleasing the wrong person. Because if someone's in the dark, Romans 1, and they should be in disharmony with you when you're trying to please God. If your children are, guess what? Oh, well, you're going to go to church with me, 13 years old. No, I don't feel like it. Oh, okay, you just stay home, and I just want to be friends with you. No, you get to church. Why? Because you're going to hear a word today. Well, I'll just not listen. I don't care. You're there, and my responsibility is before God. Once you get out of this house, hey, whatever you want to do, I'll still pray for you, but I'm responsible for you while you're in my house. You can't put relationships or love of other people before love of God, because loving your children is not cowering to your child. Not disciplining your child is not I'm just loving my child but not disciplining. No, you're not. That's scriptural. It's Bible. Is your job more important to you than coming to God's house on the Sabbath? Well, Pastor, that just can't be a blanket statement. Sure. Well, what about people and police and what about... Okay, now we're going to get into some... So God know the intent of your heart? So we can go through this. I'm saying, does your job take place over God? Not talking... Let's say, I don't want to... Well, what about this? What about this? We still need people protecting us, civil servants. You need to consider all these things, your motive and intent, because once you turn idols, like in Jonah chapter 2, it says you forsake and abandon and leave your own mercy. Once you start putting other things before God, these idols now become the high places for you. They take precedence, the high places. Once they take high place, in Jonah it says, fine, you have forsaken my protection and my mercy. Fine, you figure it out on your own. You deal with those kids. You deal with your own money. You deal with your own free time, because my hands are off of you. Number four, God will not deliver those who have crossed the covenant bloodline. God will not deliver those who have crossed the blood covenant bloodline. There was a word or promise that God gives people related to the covenant, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's related to the covenants of his word. One thing about God, he's a covenant-making, keeping God. He honors his covenant, his promise, his contract, and he swore by his name. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Luke 22:20 says, there's a new covenant of my blood. Do you guys remember this? It's not in your notes. New covenant of my blood. There's a covenant in God's blood. He says, hey, you want it? My son died for you. If you want to live by my rules, that's who he laid down his life for. But God is merciful, and this is great. When we sin, we have an advocate in Christ. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. So the unrighteousness that we see in the nation, if we commit the same things that the Bible says are an abomination unto God, but we ask for forgiveness. You guys understand this difference? If we don't and we say, I don't care, everyone else is doing it, that is iniquity. And the Bible says, my hands are off of you and you get your own mercy because this is Jonah 2. Now, in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, if, it's conditional, he is faithful, that is the promise, and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us. So there's a contract, a covenant by the shedding of Christ's blood that if we confess our sins, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, right? We're going for the throne now. God, forgive us. Forgive our nations. God, I come representing, have mercy on us because of our judges. Have mercy. I mean, you're talking, this is big stuff, everyone. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if a man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. So God forgives if we repent, that's his word. And this is the most important thing right here out of this tonight. Once the church or America and or begins to legalize abominations, taking things that God calls abominations and makes them legal, we have crossed the covenant bloodline. Jesus, the covenant bloodline is things that are sin, right? We ask for forgiveness, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. Why can we do that? Because Jesus shed his blood for us. By our sins, we can be created righteous. But when we begin as a church and a nation to legalize saying those sins or abominations are no longer sin. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Well, you know what? This thing about premarital sex or sleeping around if you're married, from gay sex to all this stuff, you know what? That's just, as long as it's a loving relationship, you know, they weren't happy. As long as it's legalized, things that God calls them a common, we have now crossed this blood covenant line. It's one thing to sin, knowing that is sin and asking for forgiveness, which is repenting, but it's crossing the line when we no longer call things sin. When the church no longer says, hey, that's a sin, and, well, are you making that up? No, I'm preaching the word. This is right out of the word. This is sin. I'm not creating this. God said this is the rules. So as a pastor, as a teacher, as a preacher, fivefold ministry, I'm supposed to tell you what's in here, nothing else, nothing more. Because Revelation 22 kicks in. It says if I add to this, I get added to the plagues in the back half of that of the tribulation, and if I delete something, my name gets deleted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. So this is what is sin, is what's in here. But the moment I begin to legislate and say this isn't sin or it's not sin, as a pastor, the moment I say this is not sin as a government or society, judgment comes upon me because I've broken the blood covenant. Wow, that was good too. Thank you. We are now in danger of serious, this is what happens now, this is all throughout history. We are in serious danger of weather patterns, cities going bankrupt, terrorism, famine, drought, flooding. How do I know that? Because it's all throughout Scripture. This is what happens when those nations, when those rulers and those leaders never go back on those three things that God considers an abomination, and that's where we're at in this country right now. We look at the fivefold patterns of the warning, the chastisements, and also for judgment. That is where we're at. From selective judgment to complete judgment, because we are a nation, we are being judged by our leaders. We get to vote for our leaders. So when we vote the wrong people in, of course, the judgment's also going to come down on us. This is important stuff. You guys get this tonight?